The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome you to the final hour, and this is a live broadcast. We were off yesterday because of 4th of July weekend. The last 3 days, I literally stayed off the grid, did not watch, read, listen to any news sources. And then this morning when I woke up, goodness gracious, what is going on? It is, I guess it's the reality of living in a fallen world. And how do you know what is true and what is not? What is real and what is manipulated? Had a conversation with a dear friend this morning I haven't talked to in years. She's not a believer. I used to work with her at the other radio station. Just really a wonderful woman. And had an opportunity to share a little bit about my faith. Because I think when it comes to at least those in positions of power that share information about quote-unquote Christians, oftentimes it's very disingenuous and mean-spirited. Like we're just a bunch of mean-spirited, hateful lot where we want to push the Bible onto people and tell them that you need God, etc., etc. Maybe versus just having an honest conversation about what God has done in our lives. And I think there is a fair amount of room for people's apprehension. Years ago, I had Lacey Sturm on the program. She is a singer in the rock genre. And she's a woman that has spoken quite a bit about her testimony and her Christian witness. And when I was having the conversation this morning with my friend, it just reminded me of what Lacey has talked about and how she has shared her faith publicly. And I think I want to begin this hour with a little bit of what Lacey Sturm shared about, well, her resistance to Christianity, what happened, and why she became a follower of Christ.
When I was 16 years old, I planned to commit suicide. Because life was just too heavy. It was just too much for me. It was just too much. I was an atheist who had been through a lot of hurt and who had been hurt by a lot of people and was really self-centered and selfish. And all I thought about was my own pain, and I couldn't get out of it. And finally, I decided that. And I didn't want to keep doing life anymore.
You know, as I hear Lacey share, I'm reminded my how many Lacey Sturms are out there right now. Young girls struggling, especially with what's transpired over the last year, may not even know who God is, or maybe they've been raised in a home by which they've been dragged to church, but they don't have a relationship with God. And we may be missing it. Here's a little bit more from Lacey Sturm.
And I hated Christians. I hated people who talked about Jesus because they always seemed to be pointing their finger at me and telling me, you know, this hateful thing, hateful speech. You know, God hates you because you do this. And if you do this, then God hates you and he's going to send you to hell. And so I never wanted to be around Christians.
And there are people... We may go, well, that's a little harsh. That's not me. I've not been exposed to that. Look, Lacey's not making it up. There are people out there that profess to be Christians. That's their attitude. But what's your walk about? How do you share the gospel? Final audio clip really speaks to the heart of the truth of who we are, why we're here, and who Jesus is.
Finally, I said, okay, you can pray for me. And then he put his hand on my shoulder and started praying, and it felt like God of the universe showed up. And I saw who I was. I saw that I was sinful. I saw that there was this perfect, holy, loving God who was right in front of me. The God of the universe. Why does he care about me? I don't know. He's just standing there, and I just feel like God's saying, you know, he's showing me who I am. I'm all the love I thought I had, I was selfish all the time. And God's standing there showing me this picture of myself, and at the same time he's wrapping his arms around me going, I want to make you new. I want to make you new. I want to make you new. I want to show you how to live, how to love. I want you to know that I love you just the way you are, but I'm not going to leave you that way.
Amen. Lacey Sturm. If you're a pastor or a church leader listening to this broadcast in this moment, thank you for what you do for the body of Christ. And I do pray that you are bold in your preaching in this time by which so much is being normalized. And yet there are thousands of people just like Lacey, I suspect right now, that may be falling through the cracks. It's a hard time. The last year, suicide, mental health, addiction, substance abuse, all of that is up. And yet we have this opportunity to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think more often by how you live your life and less of what you say. You know, I have this program and I have a microphone, and very few of you will ever reach out and share your thoughts or send an email. So God's put me in this position every day to impart his truth. Let me read a little of his truth. I read a story, and maybe I'll revisit it this hour, about a Canadian pastor who was in prison for almost 18 days for having the audacity to hold worship service. He was released Friday, preached in the pulpit Sunday on Matthew 10. Matthew 10 begins with the 12 apostles. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrays him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for the laborers deserve his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. Chapter 10, verse 12, as you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Jesus said, truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Verse 16, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and the children will rise against parents and have them put to death. You'll be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? I want to read the final part of this chapter. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. This is God's word. Father, I'm reminded by scores of people listening right now that don't know you. They may be listening casually, going about their day. Actually don't know why they listen. Why they're not drawn to the truth of your word. Why we're not on our knees crying out to you, knowing we're nothing without you. We just go about our day as if it's just one of many days to come. And Lord, you've numbered all of our days. Your word says you knew us before we were knitted in our, you knitted us in our mother's womb. You knew it, who we were before we ever breathed into existence. And yet here we are, Lord. We're a sinful lot. We murder our babies in our wombs and we rant and rave about personal freedom and choice. Father, please forgive us. And in the remaining time I have on this broadcast, whether it's today or 10 years from now, Lord, please use me for your glory. May I be a humble vehicle to tell people that you are Lord, you are King, you are Savior, and to wake people up from their sleep of self, where the world revolves around who we think we are and our wants and our desires and our needs. Lord, forgive us. You've done it all for us. We've got it all. We've got all we need in you. And if there's just one person listening right now that this is what they're meant to hear, so be it. Lord, please speak to your child. But may we get right with you for whatever is to come. I pray this in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I look at the phone bank. The phone bank is dark. That makes sense. I've not really solicited any of you to call. But I ask these questions directly and not just rhetorically. Who are you? What is your life about? Why are you here? And what are you doing with your life? You know, for some, we wake up in the morning, we're motivated because we're chasing a dream or a mission statement that we've made up, and maybe we're trying to pursue a degree with the hopes of having a business one day. Maybe some of you listening, and you'd be few and far between, culture has changed. You just hope and pray for a significant other one day, a wife or a husband by which you can raise a family and honor God in that way. All I can say is right here, right now, as has always been the case, there is a liar in our midst. This is a battle for the hearts and souls of men and women. You may not even know this. You may not even know there is someone called Satan. The world says they believe in God, but then you bring in Jesus Christ. People are like, not so much. The world may say it believes in God, then you bring up evil. Well, no, evil's not a force. It's just the absence of good. Satan? Oh, please, that's just for the Jesus freaks. And yet in this book I have in front of me, in red letters, which are Jesus' words, Jesus once said, Satan lives to steal, kill, and destroy. You look at the family in this day and age. We've normalized fatherlessness in our culture. Sons and daughters raised by moms trying to be both man and woman, father and mother. We've normalized it. We've normalized victimhood, that it's all about someone else or some group of people or the government's the problem. This is a fallen world. The Bible's convicting when it says we all have sin in our hearts. But how do you convey that to somebody that doesn't want to get honest or real about where they're at in this life right now, where they're just living for them and the idea of living for God? Not today. Maybe some other time. How does anybody make sense? How do you live another day without, at the very least, being interested in discovering who Jesus is? How do you do that? I look at my life. I think it's because my identity was derived in who I thought I was. So I just kind of relied on my own deal, my own self. The Bible is so counterintuitive. You read Proverbs where it says, don't rely on your own understanding. I remember it as if it was yesterday. 12 years ago, I had somebody call me when I gave my life to the Lord. As a New Age teacher, one of my followers, I had posted Proverbs 3:5-6 on my website, and I remember them clearly. Well, I don't understand. If you can't rely on yourself, who can you rely on? As if I was just teaching and preaching some untruth. And I told him, I said, his name is Jesus. And he said to me, oh, please, I'm not interested. And he hung up on me. I've not talked to him since 12 years later. Wonder about him from time to time, if he's even alive, what he's doing with his life. Maybe he's become a follower of Jesus. But God will pursue you. And he loves you. But he has a plan and a purpose for your life beyond any imagination that you can muster up. He loves you. He wants to show you your purpose in life. He wants to show you who you are in Christ. He wants to show you what your life is about in Christ. But love is not coerced. Love is not conditional. And I just pray for anybody right now, please get right with God right now. If I can be a vehicle for that, call me, email me, listen to the program. He's the only answer in this life. And my pain is that many of you may not ever be given the opportunity to hear the true gospel of Christ. I didn't hear it when I was a New Age teacher, save the day I did become a follower of Christ, where two guys loved me enough to sit me down and share with me the gospel. If I do anything, if I've done anything in all this time on this program, I just hope and pray, and I'll say it clearly, the only reason I'm here, The only message that you will ever to walk away with is that Jesus is Lord. I am nothing without him. And I pray that you have a relationship with him. If you don't, how do you do that? Again, I'm here. I'm here today. May not be here tomorrow. But if I can help you with your relationship with Jesus in any way, shape, or form, if you have questions, you want to have a conversation, phone lines are wide open. All six lines available. 888-528-2557. 888-528-2557. And we will continue with more of this, the Frank Sontag Show, next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. We are here for you every weekday afternoon from 3 until 5. And the call numbers to get on the air are 888-528-2557. In fact, let me take a call. Howard in Corona. Howard, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Well, hello, Frank. Thank you for taking my call. I was calling because you mentioned earlier about the military maybe being required to take the vaccines after September the 1st. And the reason for them holding off is there's an item in the Geneva Convention that requires that no military can be required to take an injection that's experimental. And as you know, until the FDA approves it, that's experimental. I got this information from a pastor out in Marietta. I'm allowed to say his name or not.
I have no problem with it. If he's okay with it, you would know better than me.
Well, he's on YouTube. His name is Tim Thompson, and he's at 412 Church in Marietta. He's on YouTube, and he had two attorneys on this particular show. It's on YouTube. It's called Our Watch.
Yeah.
And he has a very little over an hour talking to these two attorneys about vaccines and their legality and the fact that his church has a doctrinal statement about it.
Did you send me an email on him? I've gotten a number of emails about him. I was going to actually read one that I have in front of me.
I did send you one, yes.
Okay, this may be you. Is your email address having the number 61 in it?
It does. That's me.
Well, I was going to read this later in the program. So let me just reiterate a little bit of what you've said. Frank, here's an article posted on LinkedIn by an attorney that lays out pretty clearly the current law about your employer requiring that you get the shot. And obviously you sent this in. We've had some people say, hey, I'm being told I either take the shot or I'm getting fired. That's what you were responding to in part. For those seeking a religious exemption, they might want to check out Tim Thompson's 412 Church in Marietta, according to his YouTube channel called Our Watch, as you just shared. There is an exemption form on the church's website that was prepared by some attorneys. So I appreciate you sharing that email as well.
All right.
And please keep listening and send me any relevant information in the future. I appreciate you very much. Thank you, Howard.
All right. Thank you, Frank. Uh-huh. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Yeah, for those of you that have emailed me, I've gotten a ton of emails. I've not responded to any. You're in a situation where your boss is saying you have to take the shot. What do you do? I would suggest you seek out alternative information. A Canadian pastor who was released from jail last week on Friday told his congregation on Sunday that he was strengthened by the support and prayers of Christians all over the world. We have talked a bit about this pastor in the past. His name is, I think it's Tim Stevens. Fairview Baptist Church in Calgary is his church. He was in prison or in jail for 17 nights and 18 days, arrested for holding church services in violation of the provincial COVID-19 health restrictions in Calgary. Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms, representing Stevens, said he was freed from jail and that Fairview Baptist building has been released from government seizures. They even impounded the church. Stevens and the congregation had been worshiping underground, outdoors, and in undisclosed locations. Stevens was arrested last month at his home after a police helicopter spotted the service outside. Can you imagine? Well, there's a lot of things happening not only in Canada but in our country that a year ago someone would say, can you imagine? You're like, no, that's ridiculous. Stevens preached from Matthew 10, which I read just in the previous segment, in which Jesus told his disciples they would face persecution. Talks about the increasing consequences, opposition that people face as they stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stevens said, quote, the last 17 nights I've spent in jail have given me opportunities to declare the glory of Christ within and without. There never has been a time in my life when I've been so hated by people, but never has there been a time in my life when I felt so much love by people at the same time. Do not fear men. Shout from the rooftops that Jesus Christ is King of all kings. Fear God. Jesus said that God is the one who is going to judge, and God is the one who's going to care for you. In a blog over the summer, Stevens acknowledged last year that COVID-19 was serious, argued that, quote, the cure should not be worse than the disease, pointing to problems of mental health and suicide. At the time, church worship services were limited to only 15 people. Stevens wrote, restricting the church to 15 people, which essentially restricts the church from gathering, is against the will of Christ and against the conscience of many who desire to worship the Lord of glory according to his word. Pretty amazing. 888-528-2557 made mention of Pastor Stevens' blog last summer. Not that long ago, I'll get emails if I don't cover this, so let me get this out and check this box. We just had the 4th of July. The current administration, the president, who we acknowledge as Joe Biden today, not that long ago, took to the telly and shared with many of us before the 4th of July, this was months ago, he shared this message. Let me read the transcript. Quote, I need you, the American people. I need every American to do their part. And that's not hyperbole. I need you. I need you to get vaccinated when it's your turn and when you can find an opportunity and to help your family, your friends, your neighbors get vaccinated as well. Because here's the point. This is Joe Biden a few months ago. If we all do this, if we do our part, if we do this together, by July the 4th, there's a good chance you, your families, and friends will be able to get together in your backyard or in your neighborhood and have a cookout or a barbecue and celebrate Independence Day. That doesn't mean large events with lots of people together. It does mean small groups will be able to gather together. After this long, hard year, that will make this Independence Day something truly special, where we not only mark our independence as a nation, but we begin to mark our independence from this virus. But we can't let our guard down on July 4th with your loved ones. That's the goal. A lot can happen. Conditions can change. Scientists have made clear that things may get even worse. New variants of the virus spread. We have work to do to ensure everyone has confidence, so our message is this. Listen to Dr. Anthony Fauci, one of the most distinguished and trusted voices in the world. End quote. Joe Biden a few months ago. By the way, if you missed it, according to this op-ed piece, Joe Biden's ignoring his own rules. Washington Post reported that the president, this was Friday, will have 1,000 maskless people over to the People's House for a July 4th bash. On Sunday, a sea of 1,000 largely maskless people will flow onto the South Lawn of the White House for an Independence Day party that marks the first large-scale event hosted by Biden as president. It is a barbecue that will serve as a marker of sorts for an America returning to normal. The president canceled the spectacular fireworks display at South Dakota's Mount Rushmore, but he's holding a bash for 1,000 of his closest friends after telling Americans they better get vaccinated or else he'd cancel our national holiday or some such thing. Turns out he didn't believe his 4th of July jive any more than the rest of us. We declared independence from lockdowns months and months ago. 888-528-2557. One last note. A new national poll has determined that most Americans do not believe that President Biden is fully directing policymaking decisions. Poll was released yesterday by the Convention of States Action in partnership with the Trafalgar Group. It was conducted late last month. Poll found that 56.5% of American voters, quote, do not believe that President Biden is fully executing the duties of his office, end quote. On the other hand, 36.4% say Biden is fully carrying out his duties. An additional 7.1% said they're not sure. 7% are like, oh, I need more time. By the way, the president of the Convention of States Actions, a guy named Mark Meckler, called for transparency surrounding the president's physical and mental health. Meckler shared, quote, President Lincoln's famous refrain that you can't fool all the people all the time has never been more relevant and critical to the survival of our American Republic. American people deserve transparency from the Biden administration as to the true state of the president's mental and physical health, and leaders in both parties in Congress need to follow through on this immediately. He continued, the continued failure to ask hard questions and demand real answers is a disgrace to the foundation of our democracy, end quote. Over the weekend, former Obama White House doctor Ronnie Jackson, who's now a Republican congressman out of Texas, noted that he believes that Biden is, quote, demonstrating every single day that there is something going on. Jackson said, you don't need to be a physician to look at this behavior and see there's something concerning happening. You can go back. There's 40 years of tape of this man. He's also made gaffes and stuff, but these are different. He's confused. He's disoriented. Jackson went on to say, we all know people who are in their hundreds, who basically are sharp as a tack. We know people who are in their mid-60s that are having some cognitive difficulties, and I think he's on that end of the spectrum. He's just not aging gracefully at this point. I'm just asking them, when you do the physical exam, include the cognitive assessment. Jackson said, as far as I'm concerned, the standard precedent has been set. They need to follow and do the same, end quote. 888-528-2557. Tomorrow on the program, I think we're going to do, there's a press conference being held tomorrow by Mark Little. Mark sits in on the program from time to time. He's actually my best friend. You may have saw the video of the Wii Spa here in L.A. In fact, maybe I'll read a little of the press release, which is happening tomorrow. And if we don't find this concerning, that California is failing to protect women and little girls in L.A., in particular at the spa, I will give you the information, and I think we're having Mark on tomorrow right around this time as well. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. You are always welcome to call into the program. The numbers are 888-528-2557. In a few moments, I'm going to maybe get into this press release, but let me take a call on the screen. Vince in Whittier. Vince, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Oh, hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm good, Vince. How are you?
Wow. I'm hearing so many things today coming up and, But I have a wryness about what you're since you're sitting there and the phones are there's no one there. It's dark. There are many people that they listen, but they don't call in. And I'm calling in because I wanted to share with you just how wonderful it is to hear your voice on KKLA. Hearing you expound on views, being a Christian now, to me, it's amazing. I'm an alumni listener of an old program that you had.
Oh, boy.
Day.
Oh, boy.
Whoa, yeah. Oh, boy. I used to listen to your program Sunday evenings after a long, hard weekend. I'd sit in my car sometimes an hour after being home. I'd still sit in the car and just sit to listen to the program, and you know, because it was fascinating. Well, I'll shoot 2 years later. I happened to be listening to KKLA the day that Frank Santori exclaimed that he could be hit by a car and with the Lord. And oddly enough, that evening on the way home on the 210, that's exactly what took place.
Yep.
Of course, we went through the shock. And I want to go to the time that was sometime later down the line. I tuned in again in the afternoon, just unwittingly, not with any thought in mind. And I heard a familiar voice that I immediately recognized. I recognized your voice, Frank. And I'm just sharing with you how I was shocked in a beautiful way. I didn't know the circumstances surrounding the journey which brought you there or landed you there, but I'll tell you what. It just made me cry. Tears of joy because of what I knew of your life previous.
Here's a question, because I've got to get to this press release. What about your walk? Are you a follower of Christ now? When you listened to me back then, were you? Tell me a little bit more about you.
No, I wasn't. At the time, I wasn't a follower of Christ, but I'll tell you what, I was struggling. I had two kids. I was not living a bad life. I was trying to live in a monogamous lifestyle and just having a bad go of things. I remember just being drawn out, dried out in the later 2000s, and I was trying to operate a business without the Lord. I didn't know the Lord. But I remember 3 o'clock in the morning, unable to sleep, I woke up and I had just been losing weight from not eating. I remember it came over my mind. Lord. And then it just popped in my mind. What would Jesus do? And mind you, I'm not churching. I'm not book reading. I am looking at this ridiculous movie, The Da Vinci Code, that happened to be in my DVD player, and I've been watching it probably 15 times. I'm pouring over it.
So are you a follower? Are you a follower of Christ now? Are you a Christian? Yes. How would you identify yourself?
Yes, sir. At the end of 2009, I tried to check out, and I say that out of sadness and just but 14 months later, I got saved.
Praise God. Praise God. Vince, thank you. Thank you for calling and for sharing. Maybe we'll have an opportunity to talk again. I thank you for calling today. I want to make sure and make reference to this press release that I got earlier. And the conference is happening tomorrow, the press conference, and I hope that Mark will be able to come on tomorrow. Let me read a little of it. This was the unofficial media advisory. Maybe it's been changed a little bit, but you may have heard about what happened at We Spa in L.A. on June 23rd. Maybe you saw the video. Cristina Ramos was confronted with the hard truth that California legislators are failing women and little girls in the state by allowing men identifying as women to invade the once safe spaces of public bathrooms and showers. Ramos encountered a person with male genitalia who identified as a transgender woman in the female facilities of We Spa here in L.A. on June 23, 2021, and boldly stood up to say, "This is not right." We are sacrificing the safety of women and children. I am not afraid to speak. By the way, there's a story about the Antifa mob that happened over the weekend. They responded with violence, and her story is now being promoted, and Mark Little is holding a press conference tomorrow, and I hope to have Mark on the program to talk more about this this event that's gone, the video's gone viral, but Mark is using it as an opportunity. Mark is a lawyer and a pastor, and he wants to try to not only make Christina Ramos's case known, but to do something about it, not just to have a viral video or she becomes famous for a brief moment. There's much more to this. So we'll keep in mind and try to get Mark on the program. He is executive director of Cure America Action. And if you don't know about the plight of Christina Ramos, we hope and pray that you will tomorrow, right around this hour as well. By the way, if we can do anything for you on this program, if you have questions or comments or prayer requests, always email me at franksontag@kkla.com. I may not respond to you, but I do read all my emails. So know if you send something, I more than likely have read it. Every once in a while, you'll go into the spam inbox, which I always check eventually anyway. But because I don't necessarily respond doesn't mean I haven't read your email. So if I can help you, serve you, pray for you in any way, please email me at franksontag@kkla.com. By the way, in a week or two, I've got some guests booked. And if you also have a guest suggestion, you can email me at franksontag@kkla.com. What do I say in the remaining moments? I hope you know how much I appreciate you and I love each and every one of you. I may never meet you, but I pray that you scream from the rooftops that Jesus is Lord, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you don't know him, and I can help you with that introduction, please let me know how I can do that. Again, you're welcome to send me a confidential email, franksontag@kkla.com. This is the Frank Sontag Show.